Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Romanian churches in Illinois request a full court review. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. Well, we've talked before in this program, Holly, about the Romanian churches, the Elam Romanian Pentecostal Church and Logos Baptist Ministries. These two churches, we represent them. We filed suit against the Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker for his unconstitutional executive orders discriminating against churches. Now we're asking for the full panel of judges on the Court of Appeals, not just the three-judge panel, to actually weigh in on this particular case. Depending on the result of this particular petition for en banc review, if they ultimately accept it, then the case will be re-argued before a large number of judges, or if they deny it, then the next step would be to file a petition with the U.S. Supreme Court at the appropriate time.
Yeah, I think we were really surprised after the arguing before the three-judge panel. It sounded like it really went well. They were asking great questions, and then lo and behold, they ruled against the churches. So these two faithful churches have been faithfully going on this fight for their religious freedom.
When the case was pending at the Court of Appeals, the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals that sits in Chicago, by the way, when it was pending there, we ultimately asked for an emergency review at the U.S. Supreme Court because on a Saturday, the letter came from the local public health officials to these churches declaring them a public nuisance for having more than 10 people in their sanctuary.
These churches have really been abused, I must say, in the city of Chicago.
Yeah, and that letter said that they would do whatever necessary to stop this public nuisance, to abate it, which means to eliminate it, including summary abatement. Summary abatement in Illinois is up to and including destruction of the building with no notice and no judicial process. So that meant any time they could come and chain the building, they could come and destroy the building with no judicial process. That was a very critical moment.
Right.
And it was preceded, as you mentioned, by a lot of other harassment from the Chicago mayor, Lori Lightfoot.
Yeah, they were towing the neighbors' cars to try to turn the neighbors against the churches. They were blocking their parking space that they've rented for years. It was just unbelievable. And you've got all these police here when you've got other crimes and riots going on other places, but yet they're trying so hard to shut down these churches.
And the Illinois governor said, you're going to be operating under my thumb for 12 to 18 months like this.
It's a heavy
they
thumb.
Allowed at the time only 10 people in the sanctuary. It doesn't matter how big your sanctuary is.
Right.
But 12 to 18 months, possibly you might be able to get up to 50 people by then, but only if we have a vaccine and we have tracing and testing and tracking, and this vaccine is very readily available. That's what it's contingent upon. So when this came in with this letter on a Saturday, situation that was very serious, so we ended up asking the U.S. Supreme Court for an immediate review pending the appeal that this case was now pending before the Court of Appeals. And within 4 hours of the Supreme Court, where they had to respond to the Supreme Court, when they were ordered to respond, that's when the Illinois governor removed all the restrictions.
Got his attention, didn't it?
All the restrictions are gone. And they're still like that, even today. So within what happened is we had the oral argument before the Court of Appeals.
Mm-hmm.
So we're at the Court of Appeals, and we had an amazing oral argument. I mean, it could not have gone any better.
I know.
In fact, I rarely predict the result of oral argument because you just never know.
Right.
But all of us, as we're finished with that oral argument, thought, not only was this a win, it's a clear win,
mm-hmm.
because the other side did so badly and made some really bad comments and statements that really hurt the case of the governor. And the questions of all three judges were all favorable
very
to
astute,
us and very
yeah.
much against the other side.
Yeah.
Well, a few days later, we get a ruling 3-0 that rules in favor of us on one thing and against us on the other thing. In favor of us on the fact that the case is not moot because of the change of circumstances, because the governor wants to have the freedom to return to those old unconstitutional ways.
And see, that's the issue. That's why we continue, because he could just as easily change his course as he did before when the Supreme Court put pressure on him. Yeah. So we've got to continue this process through the courts.
But then on the substance of the issue, the court then ruled that this governor's order restricting churches was okay, and said that, you know, well, these other gatherings outside in these places like the super centers and the liquor stores and all that, that's different. That's different than church meetings. So those are okay, but these are not. And by the way, those, you have to feed people. But we actually brought an argument to the court, and the court really keyed in on it, and this was what I thought would at least catch their attention, and that is, under the order, these churches could feed an unlimited number of people in the same sanctuaries. They could shelter them overnight in the same facility. No social distancing. Nothing in terms of limitation on numbers.
They could eat and sleep together in the same sanctuary.
And they could then be taught or provided social services. And these social services could be looking for unemployment, looking for jobs, sure, anything of that nature.
But if you wanted to have a prayer or have a small sermon, that changes the scenario suddenly.
Then it drops down to 10 people. So that's very, very clear that this was restricting religious worship. So you could feed them. And you go back and look at, for example, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the celebration of the Lord's Supper, what we often call communion today. And you look back at the original celebration of it when Jesus was with the disciples. It wasn't just sitting around having a small wafer. It was having a meal.
Right.
And then as part of that meal, Jesus used the basic essence of what they were eating and drinking as symbols of his body and blood. So what we ultimately have here is the same thing in the early church with regards to the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians 11 talks about how they were coming together, and Paul is not complimenting them because they were coming together starving, mm-hmm, some people were, and they were eating all the food. Or drinking. So he says, when you come together, let somebody else go before you. And then he goes into the Lord's Supper, and he talks about what he has provided to them, he received, and he's receiving this directly from the apostles and from the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he goes through the symbols of the bread and the drink, the wine. So what the Lord's Supper originally was a meal, kind of like what you would have as a potluck. So in other words, bottom line is, you could have this meal with an unlimited number of people. But as soon as you wanted to stand up and celebrate the Lord's Supper with that same group, you'd have to kick out everybody except for 10 people.
It's blatant discrimination. Blatant discrimination.
And they were like very interested in and concerned about that restriction.
But it didn't seem to change their minds.
It didn't seem to change them. And the shockingly, neither the governor nor this court in this case considers worship to be among the necessities of life. And such a conclusion is just beyond the competency or authority of a court to decide the manner, form, or necessity of worship. It just makes no sense at all.
Right. So going before a full panel of judges, we have a much better opportunity to present the case and get a better ruling.
That's right. And so that's what we're doing. That brings us to what we just filed. We are asking for the full panel, not just three, but a full panel of judges of the Court of Appeals to review this case because it conflicts now with other Court of Appeal decisions. It conflicts with another one of our cases, in fact. We have 2-3-0 decisions, just the opposite. From the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals. This is the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals. So it's 3-0 against us on the size restrictions at the Seventh Circuit governing Illinois and some of the other states. But yet we won 2-3-0 decisions from the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, the neighboring Court of Appeals that governs Kentucky and other surrounding states. We have a direct conflict on the same exact issue. And so consequently, the whole court needs to consider that conflict. And then, of course, if they don't, then we'll ask the U.S. Supreme Court to resolve these two conflicts because they are clearly there and they need to be resolved. And frankly, it is unconstitutional to tell a church you can have a secular meeting inside your building, but you can't have a religious meeting unless it's only 10 people. For more information, visit Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. Sign up for our emails and other information at Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. Again, that phone number, 407-875-1776. Become an active partner of Liberty Counsel and make a difference in your community and across the nation. The website again, lc.org.